talking about May 25th. Because on May 25th, about a month after I turned 7 years old, the world changed. You see, on May 25th, 1977, anyone? Star Wars. A New Hope was released into theaters. And as a fan of that movie, as a devout fan of that movie, I expect you to know that it is a movie that tells the story of a noble rebellion against a dark and evil empire. This movie did not just entertain me as a boy, it captivated me. I was Luke Skywalker. Or Han Solo, depending on my mood. And their fight against evil and oppression and injustice was my fight. With action figures and the power of imagination, my friends and I traveled to a galaxy far, far away where we took up the noble cause of the rebellion. The Star Wars story swallowed me whole. And I believe it had that power because it contained a whisper of insight into the real world that I was already coming to know as a small boy. I don't need to tell you that evil powers are not only make-believe for movie screens. There is evil and darkness, oppression and injustice in the real world too. It is both around us and it is inside us. We are victims and we are co-conspirators. We are afflicted by and infected with evil. Star Wars made the fight against evil brilliantly visual and loud and exciting. And as I saw it up there on the screen, I knew that if I could fight on the side of the good, if I could join a struggle for justice and peace and love against the forces of oppression and violence and hate, even if it was only in my imagination with action figures in my rec room, then I would sign up with all my heart. And if I could know that no matter how hopeless things may appear at times for the forces of goodness and light, that victory was ours in the end, then that made it all the better. I wanted to be swallowed up by a battle for all that is best against all that is evil and appears unstoppable, with a guarantee of ultimate victory. I mean, who wouldn't want to sign up for that kind of adventure? At the heart of it, Christmas is not about music or food or family or lights or snow or evergreen trees or gifts or even giving. It is about all those things, for sure. But whether separately or together, these things are more the accessories of Christmas rather than its essence. Christmas is about good versus evil. It is about a struggle for justice and peace and love. Christmas is about a rescue for all who are afflicted by and infected with evil. Christmas is the crucial turning point in God's battle for all that is best against all that is evil and appears unstoppable. Christmas is our guarantee of victory, since now we know Emmanuel, Jesus, God Himself, is with us, and He's on our side. Christmas is the day history longed for. We heard that in the first carol we sang this morning. O come, Emmanuel. Come and cheer our hearts by your arrival here. Drive away the shades of night. And even now, 2 millennia since the birth of the Lord Jesus, we can sing that carol with all our hearts. The rescuer has come, but his work is not complete. The kingdom is among us, but many forces are still at war with the kingdom. The miracle of Christmas has happened, and still it is yet to be. In 1986, while visiting Nicaragua, the Canadian singer-songwriter Bruce Cockburn wrote Waiting for a Miracle. It's a song about longing for justice and peace in deeply troubled parts of the world where the poor are under the thumb of their oppressors and being ground down by the system. He writes, "You rub your palm on the grimy pane in the hope that you can see when you're waiting for a miracle." And later asks, "So how come history takes such a long, long time when you're waiting for a miracle?" That's a good question. How come history takes such a long, long time? With all that is still so wrong about our world, we may wonder whether the battle against evil will ever be complete. Will we ever be free? Will God's will ever be done? Will it ever be on earth as it is in heaven? This Christmas, we are still waiting for a miracle. For all who are starved and diseased, for the victims of war, for women and girls who are treated like property, for native peoples who are seen only as a problem, for the addicted, for the abused, for all the families that are broken or about to shatter, for all who have lost hope and are just pretending to be alive, for all of us who are afflicted by and infected with sin. We are waiting for a miracle. The miracle of Jesus' birth was announced first to shepherds by a choir of angels. We sang the carol this morning, "It came upon the midnight clear." Did you hear the message of that carol? It's a song about how the angels brought an announcement of peace on earth that has still not been fulfilled. A verse of that carol that we did not sing goes like this: "Yet with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the heavenly hymn have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And man, at war with man, hears not the love song which they bring. Hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing." The carol was written by Edmund Sears in 1849, long before the terrible wars of the 20th century that we know so well. It's kind of sad, huh? Kind of makes you wonder, how long we'll be waiting for the miracle of Christmas to be fulfilled. Another interesting piece of trivia about the carol is that Edmund Sears was a Unitarian, and as such, he did not believe in Christmas as we do. He did not believe that Jesus was God with us. His carol powerfully captures that longing we all feel at Christmas, but it stops short of providing us with the answer to our longing. Have a look. He never once mentions Jesus. We have to say more at Christmas than "chin up" or "it's going to be okay." It helps to remember that just as the birth of Jesus in history was quiet and mostly unnoticed, so it is with God's struggle against all that is evil and appears unstoppable. God is at work quietly and can easily go unnoticed. God has joined our struggle in the person of His Son and works not first of all with the problems that surround us, where we prefer to focus, but with the problems that possess us. God works inside us, at the very core of who we are, in our hearts, where sin has taken root. He goes to the very personal seeds of pride and selfishness and rebellion and hatred within us, and He does battle there. This way of God, this personal and deep salvation that He offers, raises an important question and an uncomfortable one for us at Christmas time. Do you want to be swallowed up by a battle for all that is best, against all that is evil and appears unstoppable, with a guarantee of ultimate victory? Are you waiting for a miracle when you look at the brokenness and darkness of our world? Then, and here's the important uncomfortable part, will you allow God to do battle against the sin that is in you? You see, God's victory in your heart is not the end of His miracle, but it is the foundation upon which all that He intends must rest. Jesus taught that only as we are miraculously set straight will we be able to see clearly and help. Maybe the delay of history has something to do with our fear of really allowing God in. Because of Christmas, we know that God's answer to all that is evil and appears unstoppable is Emmanuel, God with us. Let's be sure that we open our hearts wide to receive His gift this Christmas. Now we're about to sing Joy to the World, and maybe the worship singers can join us. I encourage you to notice how the lyrics of this carol build. First, every heart is to prepare Him room. And then, all of us should sing a song that would honor Jesus. Our song is to be so loud that it echoes in every corner of the world. And it's to be a song of hope that what God began at Christmas will flow out as healing to all of His creation, until one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's a great carol, and I invite you to stand and let's try and sing it the way it deserves to be sung.
Nature sings.
just invite you to have a seat. We did mention the hard work that the Sunday school children undertook to get ready for this morning. And since we're all still together, can we let the kids know how much we appreciated their part in the service? Preparations for Christmas services are not the only thing that happen in the basement of Bridletown Park Church. And we wanted to take a moment at the end of the service. I'm going to invite Bruce to come up, and we just want to acknowledge some hard work that a Sunday school student's been doing and make sure that he receives what's been promised.
Thank you. Thank you, Trevor. Well, I taught the youth, the kids, in November. I haven't taught kids for a long time. It's been a while. And one of the assignments we gave to our kids, grade 5 and 6, was to memorize the books of the Bible. Now, I won't ask adults to do that. But we asked the kids to memorize the books of the Bible, and we had one of our students who memorized the books of the Bible, and he actually did it in 1 week. And he's to be commended, and I would like for him to come, and I'd like to present him with this gift, this book. He did a very hard thing, this young man. Ryan, come on up. Ryan Nish. Congratulations, Ryan. Ryan did something that was very difficult. And this book is about some teenage boys that did something that was very difficult, but it was very right what they did. And I'd like to present to you, Ryan, this book. You know, trust you'll enjoy it. The book that you memorized the books of, the Bible, is God's story. You'll read many books in your life, but you will never read a more important book than the Bible. It will affect your whole life. It's a story of God and His love, and it's a story of His Son, Jesus. And we're here today to celebrate the birth of Jesus, but Jesus knew why He had come. He had come to show His love to mankind, to die on a cross for our sins, for my sins, and for your sins. Thank you, Ryan, for the work you did in memorizing the books of the Bible. And we commend you for that task. It was not easy, but we commend you for it. Thank you, Ryan.
So it's already been mentioned that we're hoping that many of you will be able to stay for lunch. We'll be working quite hard as soon as our service is dismissed to transform this space and make it appropriate for us to enjoy a meal together, and we do invite you to stay for that. As we think about the week ahead, we know that your lives are full. Many of you could tell me from memory what your to-do list is over the week ahead, the many things that you still have to do before next weekend. And our prayer would